Thanks, Chris. Well, it's always a pleasure to be able to bring the word, and I do apologize in advance for my kids running around down the front and making noise and carrying on, but hey, it's never too early to have kids in church, is it? And the amount that they take in is just incredible to see what Elijah does as far as his imitation of what his sister does and then his imitation of what he sees on stage, just seeing people praise and worship God. I just reckon that's awesome. So while I apologize, I don't. Is that all right? Bring your kids to church. It's important for them. Well, I love reading the Word of God. I love reading my Bible. It comes in multiple form factors, the big version and the more portable version. But, reading it on the computer and, following through the different God threads that God has throughout his word. And tonight I'm excited to be able to just share with you, I guess, some of what I've been personally just been challenged with recently. But the word of God is obviously it's not just pages inside a book. It's not just words on a page. It's God's living and active word. It's interactive. When we open it and we pick it up and we read it, we shouldn't be just reading words off a page. We should be reading it as if, what's God going to reveal and share with me today? Because of the fact that it is God's word and it is interactive, when I read it, I personally read it with expectation. Expectation of what God's going to teach me. What God's going to challenge me with, what God's going to reveal to me. And I hope and pray that's how you read it as well. As I read and take some notes, about, what's this mean, and what do I feel that it personally means to me as I, read a concordance or a commentary or look up things online, whatever it is. Each time I feel that God is taking me on a journey. And each time I'm excited to find out where we're going to end up. What little gold nugget am I going to find today on this little treasure hunt that God's got me on? I also love to listen to the Word of God being preached. I love downloading podcasts, which is basically audio of a sermon that's been preached that you can grab off iTunes or something like that. I love listening to our own preachers preach. So Pastor Dave or Pastor Graham or Hal or others, as they unpack the Word of God and share with us what God has been revealing to them. They're little moments that, I don't know about you, but light bulb moments where you suddenly go, I'd never ever thought of that exactly in that context or in that way. I'd never actually realized, the background to what was going on there. And that's why I loved listening to Alan this morning as he shared the story of Nathan and how it was announced that he was a leper. And just, the emotion that you could feel and understand of, what if I was Nathan? And suddenly I'm labeled a leper, that I have leprosy. The heartache that would come upon you. But then the great elation. The great celebration when Jesus comes and heals him and he's made well again. It's just, it's incredible stuff to hear about life circumstances surrounding people right there in the history book that is the Bible, that is the living and active Word of God. I don't know about you, but sometimes I find it a bit of a struggle to read at times. Sometimes I find that it's hard to pick up. Sometimes I find that, it's not quite as interesting other times. But every time that I go to it with purpose and say, God, what is it that you've got for me today? He's faithful and just and reveals something every time. Just like this morning, as we listened to the life circumstances that surrounded Nathan, tonight I want to share with you somebody that I've been listening about and reading about and researching about, who is very similar in the fact, it's very similar to Nathan in the fact that he also was a bit of an outcast. He also was not liked by very many. This guy was looked upon as worse than even a sinner. given a category all of his own. And this, of course, was Matthew. So if you've got your Bibles with you, open it up. Matthew 9, verses 9 to 13. If you've forgotten to bring it for your viewing pleasure, we've got it up on the screen. So as Jesus went on from there, so this is when they say there that he went on from there. They've just been in Jesus' hometown and Jesus has just healed the paralyzed man. And so there they are. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, I'm swapping from my notes back to the Bible because I realize I'm reading my notes and not the Word of God, which is right in front of me. So where was I up to? Verse 10. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call the righteous. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners." So one thing that I picked up this morning, just a little bit that you may have missed there that Alan said, was that the Bible is actually contracted. So therefore, if we were to actually expand every story within the Word, every piece of history that it represents, we'd need a bigger book. We'd need pages that are maybe even a bit thinner than they are. It was funny, on Friday night we had a speaker come and share with our youth group on Bible engagement, and it was funny how many wrote down one of the reasons that I don't read the Bible is because the pages are too thin. But there you go. That's youth for you. So you can imagine if we were to unpack and look at this story, perhaps in a little bit more detail, just pad out perhaps a little bit of the background story of what was happening around this whole Matthew, come and follow me. So firstly, we'll look at Matthew, one of the characters in this scene. And imagine that you're in Matthew's shoes. He's sitting at his tax collector's booth. He's at work. And suddenly, he encounters Jesus, and Jesus encounters him. Now, Matthew is somebody who's actually quite despised within his community, within society. Because what is Matthew? He's a tax collector. Hands up if you're a tax collector in here tonight. Good, we can despise tax collectors. We're all on the same page. Now, tax collectors back in Jesus' day, they were Jews that had been enlisted, that had perhaps volunteered to join and work for the Romans to oppress the Jews in tax collecting. To go, hey, I'm going to perhaps even pay for a license to be able to collect taxes. To doing that, I'm going to make myself quite a good wage. They were well looked after as far as what they received, because often they weren't the most honest guys around either. There was, the tax that I'm supposed to collect, and then there's perhaps the little bit of tax that I'll collect for myself on top. These guys were often prone to beating people to actually get the tax out of them. They were prone to making up stories and lies and accusing people of smuggling so that they could, weasel that little bit more out of them and collect. So as you can imagine, Matthew wouldn't have been a very popular man. Sometimes the taxes that were even charged before the tax collector added their little bit on top were over 50%. So farmers would up and just leave their farms behind because they just couldn't handle the fact that they weren't actually you know, even earning enough to put food on the table under this oppression that they were under. So here is Matthew, he's at work, and Jesus walks up to him and says, "Follow me." Let's chuck the verses back up there. So he says, "Follow me." Now, it's unlikely that Matthew would just up and go, "Yep, I'm going to follow you," having no idea who Jesus was. We can assume that the fact that this was just outside Jesus' hometown, that he would well and truly know or have heard of Jesus Christ. He would know that, you know, he's been all over the countryside doing this and that he was a great teacher and people respected him and loved him, etc. So it's not just a bizarre thing that Matthew just ups and says, "Yep, all right, I'll go and I'll follow." He knows who it is and what it is to a degree that he's doing when he says, "I'm going to leave my well-paying job. I'm going to leave my bosses and I'm going to follow Jesus." To where? He's probably not sure. For what cause? He's probably not certain. But he's been asked by Jesus to follow him. So he does. Now, this is the point where I imagine in the story that Peter would up and interrupt Jesus and just, you know, perhaps offer his words of wisdom that, you know, he would understand that perhaps Jesus isn't making a very wise choice. Jesus, yes, Peter. You know how I hate to interrupt, but Matthew, he's one of them. What do you mean, Peter? A sinner? No, worse. He's one of them. He's a tax collector. And you can see just how despised these tax collectors were. When you have a look there at verse 10, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. They got a whole category of their own. They weren't even good enough to be sinners as far as the people were concerned. The Pharisees, the people of the time, they were big on labels. They were big on saying, "You are this. You are a beggar. You are a leper. You are a prostitute. You are a homosexual. You are an adulterer. You are a murderer. You are a sinner." And when they really wanted to label somebody as the lowest of low, "You are a part of the sinners and tax collectors." So you can understand here, Matthew was really seen as the lowest of low, and Peter would not have been all that happy for Jesus to suddenly say, "Hey, come and be part of our group." But it's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus didn't see a label. Jesus saw and recognized the person, but not Peter. "Jesus, look, I hate to pull you up here, but in case you didn't notice, we're a legitimate outfit. You know, I had a legitimate and prosperous job. I was a fisherman. And here you are, adding somebody like Matthew, a tax collector, to our number. I'm not sure if you recognize, but I'm from good stock. Come from a good family. This Matthew guy, he knows he's bad. His family know he's bad. You sure you want him as part of our group? You know, I know that you're the Son of God, Messiah dude, you know, but we've got a reputation to protect. We take on Matthew, no reputation. Couldn't we have a traffic cop instead?" He would have been looking for other people that were pretty bad that we don't quite like, but not a tax collector, surely. But Jesus simply turns to Matthew. And what does he say? Hey, Matthew, will you follow me? Will you follow me? So back to Matthew. Like anyone, he's about to have a bit of a career change. He's about to go on a trip around the countryside. So what does he do? He invites people over for dinner. He has a barbecue. He has a bit of a party. Can you imagine who Matthew would have invited to his party? Nicole, who do you invite to your party? Me? Good. Great. That's excellent. Who else would you invite? Why would you invite me? You like me. Oh, that's great. And who would you invite, Cass, to a party? Andy? Because he's your husband. Would you invite anyone else to your party, or are you just happy there? Maybe Sky? So family? So potentially he'd invite some family. Would he invite friends? Of course he would. You know, and back in this day when you had dinner, it was actually an open affair. So anyone could come and, you know, while they might not be invited to the dinner and be able to eat, anyone could come and listen and watch and be involved. But who would Matthew have really hung out with? Other tax collectors, sinners, people that society potentially looked at as low of the low. Because when you talked about tax collectors, they were ceremonially unclean. It was looked upon as you have actually left your faith, totally dished it, and said, you know what, I'm going to go and work for the Romans and help them oppress my own people. So Matthew invites his mates over. And you can just imagine who would be lining the fence, peeping over, watching, and going, we see what's going on over there. The Pharisees. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? They were there ready to point the finger. You see, the Pharisees, they were considered as experts of Jewish law. They were the rule keepers. They lived lives that were there to try and interpret the law and try and encourage other people to do also. Unfortunately, their encouragement was usually by shame. You're not good enough. This is what you need to live up to. And for them, this barbecue was perfect proof that the man that they're calling the Messiah, the man that they're calling the Son of God, the man that they're calling Jesus Christ, you know, this amazing dude over here, there's no way that he can be that. Because we're Pharisees. And he's hanging out with sinners and tax collectors. There's proof right there. Because surely us as Pharisees, if Jesus, you know, if he's really who he says he is, surely he'd want to hang out with us. Surely he'd want to come and encourage us, tell us we're doing a good job, instruct us on how we can, you know, maybe perhaps be a little bit better. Not hang out with people like this. If this was God in human form, surely he wouldn't stoop as low as hanging out with a tax collector. The fact that sinners and tax collectors were even lining up to hear Jesus, and yet the religious elite were doing quite the opposite. It went against every cultural expectation of the time. But instead, Jesus continued time after time to seek out sinners and tax collectors. In Luke 15, it tells us of how Jesus was surrounded by sinners and tax collectors. And he took the time to share with them the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and emphasized to them just how, you know, much of a celebration there is when something that is lost is found. And we know In the same way, when somebody finds Jesus, doesn't matter if they're a tax collector, doesn't matter if they're a sinner, doesn't matter if they're the lowest of low, when they find Jesus, there's a great celebration in heaven that goes on for them. Amen? And then I love this. Jesus, in his great wisdom, says, on hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And then he says something that would be completely offensive to any self-respecting Pharisee. He says, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I've come to call the righteous, but I've come not to call the righteous, but sinners. Go and learn. In other words, Pharisees, I understand that you see yourself as the religious elite. I understand that you see yourself as knowledgeable in most things to do with the law and to do with the Bible and to do with, you know, the things of God. But you know what? I'm actually perhaps telling you that you've missed something here. Go and learn. And this was something that the teachers of the time would use regularly. Go and learn. Go and find. Search for examples. Understand the point of a given text. So when Jesus says this to them, you can imagine if you were a Pharisee, if you're in the place of a Pharisee, you'd be riling up inside saying, "What? Who is this guy? What does he think he's saying to somebody like us?" But when Jesus used the phrase, he knew that perhaps that these know-it-alls didn't know, that they didn't understand. Perhaps they'd miss something. And these guys that like to shame others into thinking, hey, you're never going to be good enough, were suddenly shamed themselves. He was referring there to Hosea 6:6, which reads, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." So Jesus is obviously a key character in this scene. Matthew, will you follow me? Matthew, will you follow me? I'm not asking you to commit to anything. I'm not asking you to sign any documents. I'm actually not asking you to change anything right now. I'm not asking you to leave anything in particular. I'm just saying, Matthew, will you follow me? Will you do the one thing that I know you can do? Will you follow me? Now, Jesus, he could have easily pointed out, just as Peter was prepared and ready to do, pointed out every fault that he could find. But Jesus didn't come to point out Matthew's faults. Jesus came to point Matthew to the Father. Jesus simply asks and looks for us. Looked for Matthew. Looks for us personally to take baby steps towards the Father. It's the broken. It's the paralytics. It's the blind, it's the lepers, it's those in mourning that actually recognize that they have need for God's help. The religious struggled to see beyond their own pompous ideas, their own knowledge and thought that they know it all, to be able to see that God in human form stood right before them and said, will you follow me? It's why Jesus said to his disciples, truly I tell you, it's hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. If we don't recognize that we have a need, It's very difficult for us to come to that point of humility to say, yes, Jesus, I'll just simply follow. Hosea 6:6, I read it a moment ago. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. John Wesley said, the knowledge of God is the affectionate knowledge of God, which fills the mind with reverence of his majesty, fear of his goodness, love of his holiness, trust in his promise, and submission to his will. I'll read it again. The knowledge of God, the affectionate knowledge of God, which fills the mind with reverence of his majesty, fear of his goodness, love of his holiness, trust in his promise, and submission to his will. Christ was bringing the people around him to a point where they would understand that sacrifice was simply a covering up, a ritual, external dealing with a conviction of sin. The Father's grace, however, brings about a heart and mind change. His love not only covers sin, it removes it, destroys it. Christ substitutes for it. Those who feel that they're well, they don't seek medical assistance. They don't see a need for a physician that would make them well, that would make them whole. But if we come to a point where we understand, hey, I haven't got it all together, no matter who I am, if we understand that, you know, God sent his son Jesus with just a simple invitation that was there aimed at those that needed it most, that Jesus came. Put up that verse again. For I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. God didn't see labels. God just saw individuals who needed a Savior. And he simply says, Matthew, will you follow me? Nicole, will you follow me? Cass, will you follow me? So some take-home points. Just going to read through them and you can grab them. If you're taking notes, write them down. I can get it off the website during the week. Jesus points us towards God. He points us towards his Father who has great love and mercy for us as individuals. Jesus' main purpose for coming was to heal the sick, to find the lost, minister to those who recognize they have a need, and not pander to the religious. Jesus liked people that were unlike him. And you know what? People unlike him, they really liked him. They listened to him. They hung off his every word because this guy had come and was sharing something totally different, a message of grace and mercy that they were unfamiliar with. Jesus involved himself in people's lives, not to the point where they influenced him, but where he was able to influence them, to show his true compassion, his love, and his grace, in the hope that they may see through him the love of his Father. We're not in church to tick a moral or sacrificial duty box, say, I attended church today. I've done my bit. We're in church to learn ourselves how we can be healed, how we can be made whole, and then how we can share that same knowledge with others around us. That we can learn how to show mercy and love unconditionally. And not that it be just in our heads, but that it comes to a point where it's heart knowledge. And Jesus didn't have projects. He acted on purpose and with a purpose, for sure. But he had authentic relationships. He had genuine friendships that he built. And out of that, he shared the love of the Father. If we want to be like Christ, we are called to share that same message. But that should be shared out of a genuine love, a genuine friendship, not just looking for a notch on our belt. So in conclusion, Jesus extends an invitation every single day. He extends an invitation to me. He extends an invitation to you. He extends an invitation to anyone who is willing to listen. Just as he did to our friend Matthew. And his invitation? So simple. Will you follow me? He says, forget about the past. Forget about the labels. Forget about knowing everything and anything first. Would you follow me? Would you simply follow me? If you do, I'll explain the rest on the way. I'll guide you through, and I'll teach you some pretty cool things along the way that will help you and assist you to do life well. But first and foremost, will you do the one thing that I know you can do? Will you follow me? No matter what your life circumstance, whether you feel that you're here on a scale or here, will you follow me? If we can just have everybody just close their eyes and bow their head. Tonight, I just want to open a very simple invitation. And that's the invitation that Jesus offers. Will you follow him? If you're at the point in your life where you just, there's something inside you that you just know is crying out to say, you know what? I need something. I need something in my life that is different to what's going on currently. Will you follow him? Is there anyone here this evening and you just want to put up your hand just to show to me, while no one else is looking around, just in the privacy of the moment, just to say, you know what, tonight, I don't know what all of it means, and I know that I'll find out more later, but right now, I just want to acknowledge God and just say, you know what, Jesus is worth following. Is there anyone tonight, you just want to put up your hand, slip it up. No worries. There might be others here tonight and you have just heard this simple message and you want a renewed vision. You want a renewed and refreshed outlook on what it actually means to follow Jesus. As life goes on, you've hit some bumps in the road. Things are tough. Things are not where they should be. But you're like, you know what? I just want to reset. Tonight, I just want to go back to basics. And that's the invitation that Christ puts before us every day. Forget everything else. Jesus, I just want to follow. Is there anyone here tonight that you just want us to pray for you in that respect? Again, just put up your hand. Awesome. You can put it down. Is there anyone else tonight? Yeah. Cool. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Lord God, we just thank you for the simplicity of your word. So often we can make it so complex, but we just thank you for the simplicity of salvation, that it begins with just following you. So Father God, we just pray right now. We bring these two gentlemen that have raised their hands before you tonight. We bring them before you and we pray, God, that they would find the basics once again and what it means and what it is to simply follow. Father God, two people have put up their hand tonight. And yet, this message would have been totally worth it for one. Just as you put total worth on Matthew and the fact that you went after him. And you come after each of us individually, asking us, will we follow? So I pray, God, that you would challenge us this week to learn what that means, afresh and anew, to simply follow. And as we do that, that we would fall in love with you all over again, day by day. Fall in love with your word. Look to unpack it and say, wow, God, what is it that's beyond and within that that you want to share specifically with me? Because your word is living and active. And you use it each day to teach us, to stretch us, to mold us. We thank you for it. Everybody said, amen. So let me leave you with this one last challenge. And that's the challenge that Jesus gave to the Pharisees. Learn what this means. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. God is truly merciful, isn't he? Amen. Amen. Well, have yourself a great week. Thanks for coming to church, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Amen.